Good morning. Glad to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day, and I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. Glad you could be here with us. When you walk into the assembly, what fills your mind? Is it what you will eat after services? Maybe if you're in school, the test that you have on Monday? Or for a lot of us, because I enjoy naps just as much as the other person, how long you will nap when you get home? What fills your mind? Because our minds need to focus on God when we come through those doors. He should be the center of our mind, our life. He should be our whole focus. The hearts, minds, and ears should be ready to receive the word of God and glorify Him. And so this morning, we're going to talk about focus, what our focus should be, and how to refocus on God. And so the first point I want to cover is the aim of worship, and that is the worth of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Worship begins with a person, not a program. When we come here, worship begins with Christ. That's who we are here for. We come here, we sit down, and we begin worship. And our minds need to be centered. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus Christ as we sit and worship. Even as the preacher speaks, I am speaking the word of God. But Christ is the center. He's the center of our focus, not me, not anyone who gets up here, not even the young men who get up here to serve. The focus will always be Jesus Christ. But not only our eyes, but fixing our hearts on worshiping God. In Psalm 95, Psalm 95, starting in verse 1. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to Yahweh. Let us make a loud shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a loud shout to Him with songs of praise. For Yahweh is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His. For it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice. Before the first line of the song that is sung, this is something we should say. We have come to see God as He is and respond as He deserves. That should be the first thought, the first words that come out of our mouth. Because our aim in worship is not to please ourselves. It's not to please others. We come here for God. Everything, every other thought, every other feeling needs to go. And we are to center our minds and hearts on God at this time. And so that's the aim. What's the manner? The manner of worship in spirit and in truth. In our main text, John chapter 4, starting with verse 23. John chapter 4, starting in verse 23. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Spirit meaning sincere, engaged heart, not autopilot. A lot of the Pharisees that Christ dealt with didn't come to worship God the way He is commanded. We know the Pharisees and their attitude was, it's all about me. I want to receive the praise of man. I want to be glorified. It wasn't about God. As well, they would use a check-off list. You know, we do that sometimes as well. Some people will. Come in, sit down, check. I'm in a pew. I'm in my assigned seat. We sang songs. I sang along. Checklist. Took the Lord's Supper, checklist. Heard the preacher talk for an hour. Check. I'm done. Until next Sunday. Is that worshiping in spirit? No, we're on autopilot. It's become an obligation at that point. Truth, according to God's revealed word, not human invention. According to God's word, what has been revealed to us, not by human invention. So many have confused God's pattern for worship, how He wants to be worshiped. Well, you know what? I don't like worshiping without instruments. So we're going to put instruments so I can feel that music just lifts my day up. It just encourages me. It's not about God at that point. It's about what you want. What you want to feel. It's not what it's about. Worship is when we come here to worship God in the manner that He has told us, how He wants to. We can see the pattern through the Old Testament. We're going through Leviticus on Wednesday night. Even with the chapters we went through, there's a pattern. This is how I want it done. This is how I want the burnt offering, sin offering, guilt offering, peace offering. This is how I want it done. There's no other way. It's God's way or the highway. Secondly, all of us should be present. All of us. Every fiber of our being should be in tune with the worship of God. Because in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, we should know this text very well. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. These bodies of ours, every part of it should be present. Mind, heart, soul should be poured out in worship, worshiping God. Him being the center of all. You know, our minds love to wonder. Mine does. It does. And I have to combat it like crazy. Because there's so much we allow things to come in to our minds. What we have to do the next week. What we have to do that day. Whatever it may be. But when we're here and when we begin worship, all of those things belong outside of these walls. I'll deal with it later. Now is the time that I put towards God and doing as He has called us. Even our bodies, we need to use as worship to God. But not just here in the building, outside of the building as well. Because those who conform to the world, they don't look at the world definitely does not look at worship as important. Once again, it's Sunday, and soon enough, eventually, it'll be Super Bowl Sunday. Guess where people are right now? They're filling stadiums, thousands upon thousands who don't see worship as important, who don't see God as important. But not just that, people who just stay home, well, I'll worship over the phone, watching a live service. That's not worship. You know, it is a good thing that we did have these means during COVID when everything was shut down. I tell you, I hated it. Because there's nothing like coming together with brothers and sisters to worship in spirit and in truth, to be in person. It's a wonderful thing. Why miss something like that? That's like doing Thanksgiving over the phone. It's like, well, I can't be there, so I'm going to do it over the phone and I'll eat with you guys. It's not the same, is it? Or Christmas, doing it over the phone. It's not the same. And so the manner of worship in spirit and truth, but what pattern do we follow? The pattern of worship, the apostles' teaching. We know that the early church followed this pattern very well. And God added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Here's the pattern. Here's the pattern that the early church followed. What's interesting, too, as we see and we'll get into in a minute, the early church would gather in each other's homes. They didn't have buildings like we do that we are blessed with today. But they would gather together. They would go through the teachings of the apostles, which are the teachings of Christ. They'd have that fellowship. They would break bread, Lord's Supper. They would also have fellowship meals together as well later on. But they would also sing, chant the Psalms, worshiping God together, which was a beautiful thing. But they would find time to gather together as one body to go through worship. We are not here to be entertained, because when we look at the early church, they didn't do it because they wanted to be entertained. They did it because God deserves it. Every bit of it. Because of what He did for us. He sent His only begotten Son, His only Son, down here to die for us. He did everything, gave everything, so that we would have a way to be the adopted sons and daughters. And it is only through Christ in which we can have that relationship, that we can have eternal life, that one day we can be in heaven for eternity. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began speaking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. Let me tell you, our attention spans are terrible today. I know mine is. And that's due to what we have, the endless scrolling that you can do on Facebook, all forms of social media. If it doesn't grab our attention, then we're done. We're going to shut it off. We're going to shut it out. Prolonged his message until midnight. Can you imagine? We go to Nehemiah chapter 8. These people stood for half a day while the law of God was being read. I don't even know if I could speak for a half a day. I struggle with just speaking for an hour. I'm sure I could do it. It's not about being entertained. It's about desire. We desire the Word of God. But not only that, we desire to worship God, to be here every day the doors are open, to come together, to have fellowship, to break bread, to study God's Word, to sing praises to Him, to glorify Him. It should be a desire, not an obligation, not a checklist. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 through 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to set something aside, saving whatever he has prospered, so that no collections be made when I come. First day of the week. First day of the week. Every first day of the week. And here is giving, right? We see the giving. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gratefulness in your hearts to God. Right here, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do we have this type of mindset, this desire? We're not here to be entertained. If you want to be entertained, then you don't need to be here. There's plenty of things to do at home. If you want to be entertained, watch NFL. If you want to be entertained, watch a show. We're here because we desire to be. And we desire to put God first. We desire to worship Him. This is the time now to give Him the time that He deserves. Where to focus? It's the next question. Where to focus in each or on each act of worship? So the first act we see is singing. And like I said, Colossians 3:16, but Ephesians 5:19 as well. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. We are called to sing songs of worship. Now, of course, the early church would chant the psalms. Instruments would not be brought in until 300 to 500 years later, and it was not according to God's word. It was according to man's idea, man's invention, twisting God's pattern to fit their own desires, to be entertained. You know, it's crazy to me when I see some of these worship services of these mega churches, these denominations, they're concerts. They're not worship. Lights, fire, smoke, it's awful. They've defiled God's pattern. It's not the church of Christ. It's not the Lord's church. It is man's church. That's what it is. Here's the pattern which God has laid before us, singing. You know, when we sing together, we are united. One, many voices turn into one voice as we are singing praises to God, which is the most beautiful thing in the world. I love listening to a cappella. I love hearing all these voices. One group that I really, really like is Praise and Harmony. They're an a cappella group. And when you hear all these voices come to one and sing, oh, it's beautiful. You can't beat it. Forget instruments. Now, don't get me wrong, I love music. I do. I'm an old 90s country and older guy. Some rock. But nothing beats when all these voices join as one. But it is unity. There is unity when one voice is singing together. And here's another thing as well, when we go back to Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't worry about the notes. We need to focus on the words that are in these songs. There are some, It Is Well With My Soul is one of my favorites. And really, to know the story, there are stories behind some of these songs. And it's a beautiful story, a tragic story, but it's beautiful. Just focusing on the words is worship. Just focusing on the words can admonish you, can encourage you, can lift you up. I've heard people that cannot sing, but it is still a beautiful thing for them just to go for it and sing these praises to God. I'm not a great singer. Now, when I sit by my wife, she keeps me in line, keeps me in tune. But we should be singing with our hearts. We should be singing and just giving these praises to God. He doesn't care. If we had to be a great singer to get to heaven, I'm doomed. But thankfully, that's not the case. Praying. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. First of all, then, I exhort that petitions and prayers, requests and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, that the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. The witness for this proper time, for this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind also. Paul and all the apostles took prayer seriously. Prayer was important because it's how we communicate with the Father. So many people neglect prayer. When we come to worship, we have an opening, closing prayer, which is a great thing. But not just here in worship. Yes, we need to do it, but on the outside as well. Paul would always pray for the saints and even ask for prayer. How important is it to pray for one another? Or to receive prayer? It's a nice feeling to know that the church is praying for you. When you have surgeries, when you are sick, when you are struggling with sin, that's a wonderful thing to know. Prayer is so important, yet we neglect it. Preaching and teaching. In Acts 2:42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. Preaching and teaching is important. We have classes that the word of God is being taught to young men, young women, older men, older women, two children. And then you have the preaching. The preacher gets up, preaches the word of God. Once again, how can we believe if we have not heard the word of God? Preaching exposes, teaching and preaching exposes Scripture. And blessed are the men who stand and preach and teach, because they're making it known what the Word of God says. Focus on God's voice through His Word, because that's how God speaks to us today. The Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began speaking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. As well, I won't read through the whole text, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Here's Paul telling the Corinthians that on the night that Christ was going to be deceived and arrested, what did he do? He took bread. This is my body. And this cup, which is my blood, we are to partake of it. Every time we are together, we are to partake of the Lord's Supper. We know in certain places, every first day of the week, breaking of bread, taking the Lord's Supper to remember. We do that every first day of the week to remember what Christ did, what he went through for us. The bread, the cup. Once again, we have been commanded to do so until his coming. Do this in remembrance of me. Christ is the center point. He is the reason that we are able to have salvation. Giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. Once again, Paul telling them, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches at Galatia, so do you also. We are commanded to give. Now, of course, tithing, I've had people tell me, well, we tithe. Well, great. But we're not commanded to tithe. If you decide to give in your heart 10% of your paycheck, great. Absolutely. But it's what you have decided, whether it be a dollar, $10, $20. You know, it's sad that I saw one video, this guy who is a pastor got up and told his ushers to lock the doors, not to let anyone out until they paid more money. I wonder how that went over, because I would have been getting up and forcing my way out. There's another one who put his Bentley on the stage. And if you don't know what a Bentley is, it's an expensive car. Asking the people to pay, to give more money. There's been others who have said, have gotten on social media that said, hey, give me more money so I can buy my fourth private jet. I don't think that's what Christ had in mind. Because not only are we to give with a cheerful heart, but the church is to use those funds to help spread the truth, to help spread the gospel, to help the poor, the needy, to help the widows and widowers, to provide for their own. That's what those funds are to be used for, not the personal gain of someone. He loves a cheerful giver. Another thing that we need to focus on is on one another, on each other. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. One thing that I have learned is that encouragement is not accidental. It's intentional. Encouragement, when we want to encourage someone, we are deeply thinking about how we can help them, how we can encourage them with much love for that individual. It's not accidental. It's intentional. Focus on building and encouraging one another when we are here. This is, once again, how we edify one another, how we build one another up. You know, when you see a brother or sister that looks like they're stressed, they're sad, go to them, encourage them. Try to build them up. And when someone has struggles with sin, yes, rebuke them. But approach them out of love and gentleness as we do so. And that's what Paul did. When we look at some of the rebuking he did, it seemed harsh from a worldly perspective. But from a Christian perspective, Paul loved that individual. That's why he went to the individual, to rebuke them, to correct them, because he wanted their souls to be right. He, at one point, rebuked Peter. It wasn't out of hate or anger. It was out of love. But once again, encouraging all the more we can. Once again, it's not about us here. It's about God worshiping on first and foremost, but as well, being here to encourage one another. You can't do that through a phone. I can't tell you how many times I've misinterpreted a text because it sounded angry, when the reality was it's not. How can we fight these distractions? Here's some practical help. First one, prepare on Saturday. You know, I know a lot of people work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and you look forward to that Saturday to be able to sleep in, to have plans. I'm going to do this and that, and I'm just going to be lazy. I'm going to do me today. But prepare on Saturday. Get the rest you need. 8 hours of sleep is what we need. It's healthy. Use that time to pray. Pray that God helps prepare your mind for worship. Help shine light on who may need encouragement. Secondly, arrive early to pray. Arrive early at worship to get your mind ready for it. To help encourage one another as you see people walking through the door, or talk to them. Thirdly, sit forward, Bible open. You know, I know a lot of people like to use the Bible apps on their phones, and that, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that you put it on Do Not Disturb. iPhones now, I don't know about Samsung's, they come with a focus thing. You can put it on Do Not Disturb, and no text or anything will come through. And that way you can focus. But if you do have Bible sitting at home collecting dust, put the phones away and open up the Word of God. Get into Scripture. Follow along with the sermon. Follow along with the text. Finally, participate fully. Sing every song. Take notes. Follow the prayer. Follow along with the prayer when we do the opening and closing prayer. Follow along when we do pray over the Lord's Supper, over the bread, over the cup. Follow along with your minds. Once again, this is how we combat these distractions. This is how we fight these distractions. In James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. It says, "But become doers of the word, not merely hearers, who delude themselves. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does." This is a man who is not only a hearer but a doer, who does not forget. Our focus needs to shift. Our focus needs to shift back to God. But not just here on every first day of the week, but when we are out in the world. Because we are, as human beings, we lose focus. We do. And technology doesn't help. When you have technology that does everything for you, it's hard to keep focus. When you have text and emails just continuing to come in, it will distract. We set aside 2 days a week. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night to come together. Now, if it's more, I'm glad. I'm glad you are getting together, having fellowship. We set 2 days aside to be here to worship and to study God's Word. 2 days out of 7. Should we be losing focus of why we do that? No, we shouldn't. Because we should use these days to refocus, to re-energize, and to get ready for the week to come. If we can start with baby steps, here's the baby steps. When we come here on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights, clear your mind and refocus on why you're here. And you start with those baby steps, but then you start building every day like that. You start adding a day, keeping your focus, keeping your eyes and hearts on Christ. You're going to start seeing a difference in who you are and how you feel spiritually. But for those who are here, who are not Christians, who are of the world, your focus is on something that goes against God. Your focus is on you, on the things that you enjoy of the flesh. Now's the time to shift that focus. You have heard the Word of God, and I pray that you believe the Word of God. Shift your focus today towards the one who gives life. The one who will get you to heaven. Because I can't and no one here can. It is only through Jesus Christ in which we can have a relationship with the Father, which we can have eternal life. The world does nothing for you. Sin does nothing for you. All it costs is heartache, chaos, death, lawlessness. It's time that you shift your focus. And this is how you do it. You must hear and believe. Romans 10:17 and Mark 16:15-16. But there are conditions to be met. Once you have believed, you must repent. Changing one's mind, you're shifting your life from sin to Christ. You're going back to God. And you're denying your old self. You're taking up your cross and following Him. But then you must confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10. Understanding you haven't been saved yet. You're going in the right direction. And finally, to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:15-16. Here it is. When you go into that water, God is doing the rest. You're making contact with the blood of Christ, which is washing away your sins. You're being your old self, your sinful self's being put to death. When you raise up out of that water, you are now walking in newness of life. But it doesn't stop there because the journey's just begun. You must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Stand firm at that point. Now you are part of the church. You have been added to the church. You have fellowship with not only the brothers and sisters here, but you now have fellowship with God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in you and with you at all times. And all you have to do is lean on Him and keep your eyes and hearts on Him. Or if you were a Christian and have gone astray back into the world, you have lost focus. Now's the time to reshift that focus and to come back to Him, repenting of your sins and being reconciled to Him. This morning, if anyone is here and needs any assistance, understand the church is here to assist you in any way. We love you and we want you to go to heaven with us. So if you're here this morning, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.